Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, look, seriously, good morning.
Seriously, good morning. Should be seeing the sunrise. Hey, can you hear us?
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
Will we be seeing the sunrise?
I think so. Wait, what do
you recall?
Except I'm inside.
Are you inside or outside?
I'm inside. I could turn on a light.
Oh, well, no, it's very nice like this. It's kind of like taking the time to wake up. If it gets bright,
well, I did just
blue light and shine you.
You can kind of see me?
I can kind of see you. It's really wonderful.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm in general really well. Yesterday was, I said, yesterday was my most frustrating day ever here. And it was all because of computer stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. So I had to laugh at myself. Like, if that's my worst day here, things aren't so bad.
No. Well, given that you live in a part of the world that has hurricanes and volcanoes and, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. But you know, the hurricanes, they make a big, it's not the hurricanes, it's the rain. They make a big deal out of hurricanes.
Yeah.
But there's never been, it's been decades since there's one that actually hit here.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your tech frustration. You know, I had a colleague, I think it was my second year learning somatic experiencing. We had a colleague who was doing his PhD on technological PTSD.
Oh my goodness.
Like people who were in this line of work that had them with technology all the time, and they felt like seriously traumatized by the experience.
That makes sense. That's very validating.
Right. And his name was Josh. I wish that I had taken his coordinates because he's probably done with his thesis by now. It's been so many years.
Yeah.
And it would be so cool to read it.
Yeah.
Morning.
Morning.
And just to see how technology can be such a, I feel like the sense of helplessness.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Big for me.
Yep.
Julie, we're talking about how technology can make us feel really like not well when it doesn't function.
So I just had to restart my computer this morning while I'm trying to get her at the call at the right time. And I realized it was just making me crazy. How timely.
So here is what I teach my clients to do when there's frustration in the body.
Yeah.
It's literally and some people, so I teach it in this very playful kind of like baby kitten way. And most of my clients are like, rah! They come with like this. I was like, you need a lot more frustration than I. But, you know, it's really one of the kind of the finest things in working with emotions. If you can take something that feels unpleasant and bring a playfulness to it.
Yeah.
So like this little kind of like a little kitten, arr, not like going like full blown and like trying to tear the wall or like.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, like this kind of stuff.
Are you needing like the kitten? That's a great tool.
But this is what we do. So like with frustration, like I'll actually take some time after my computer has malfunctioned or something to do a few of these like little like playful kitty things. And it's amazing because it doesn't let your shoulders and neck freeze.
Yeah.
Because there's all this adrenal stuff that's coming up and there's no actual opponent. It's like this flat thing that's like, you know, not doing anything.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
And you can't see it. That's what it is for me. Like if there's a problem, I can see it. I can touch it or get a visual of it, but it's all inside. So I can't. That's what's hard for me about it.
It's very, very difficult. And one thing that's given me peace is Roland's insistence that I back stuff up.
Yeah.
There's something about backing up your content or whatever is important in multiple places, that is kind of like a soothing thing, because it's harder to lose stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I used to be very resistant to it. I was like, no, I'm not. So my computer would say 995 days since your last backup. And I'm like, it's just 3 years. What's the big deal, you know? But I value it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully today, only up from where you were yesterday.
Yeah. No, I think I was laughing at myself. And finally at night, I put in, and when I was in Oakland, I sang in this gospel choir, the Interfaith Gospel Choir. And afterwards, I just turned on that music. Like, I pulled up YouTube and the concerts I was in. And that just helped me, go into a different emotional realm. Yeah. Like, especially this is much more powerful in a different way, helped me feel better. But it was hard to fall. I didn't want to go to sleep. I was like, I want to get up earlier, but I wasn't ready to go to sleep because I guess my body needed to just let go of some of that stuff.
Yeah, it was hard to fall asleep when you're all wired up for battle.
Yeah.
I saved the song that you posted to listen to on my walk this morning, so I look forward to hearing it.
Oh, great.
I'll be like, Sandra's singing, you know? So good. Well, I don't know if you were here when we talked about singing and dancing and kind of like the social engagement part of de-stressing, and how singing and dancing has always been the way to process for humans.
Yeah.
And it's just incredibly powerful. So how good your system thought of that.
Yeah.
Yes. And Julie, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm on the tail end of a cold.
Oh, boo.
But it's almost gone now. And it's kind of interesting to me because this is the first day of the Baha'i fasting period, which I think I mentioned last time we talked, where from sunrise to sunset, you don't eat or drink anything for 19 days. Mm. And if you're ill, you're not required to fast.
Oh.
Or if you're over the age of 70 or under the age of 15 or pregnant or nursing or do heavy labor,
okay,
that would put you in physical jeopardy. But it's interesting because I look forward to the fast, and all week was looking forward to starting it. But because I have this cold, it's not the wise thing to do to start fasting today. So, okay. I have my tea here with me and I'm prepared and hoping that by tomorrow morning I'll feel well enough to feel like I can begin the practice. This year has been like that. There are many, many things that have to happen in a way that would not necessarily be my preferred way for them to happen, because we're in this year of transition with moving in with my dad and moving out of our house. And my husband is texting me like every 2 minutes with pictures of things in the house. Okay, should I pack these to come or should I get rid of them? And all day long, there are all these things coming in. And so it's just kind of...
Yeah.
But I will endeavor to be calm in the goal setting process with you all this morning. And I've just turned my phone off for a bit to ignore those text messages about whether or not this piece of silverware comes. So...
Yeah.
Hi, who joined us on the phone?
Hi, everyone. It's Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
It's so nice to hear your voice. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm a few minutes late because we're dropping off Leslie's car to be serviced, and she's checking in, and so I'm waiting for her. But now I'm with you guys.
Excellent. It's so nice. Zoom provides this opportunity to be on the phone. Sometimes I'll just be walking and be on a Zoom call, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I told her. I said, when you come back to the car, I'm going to be on the phone, so don't feel like you're being ignored.
Yeah, when you come back, I will not be alone.
When you call in on the phone, does it tell you, give you any tips or anything? Like, how do you mute? Like, I know that there's ways to mute on conference calls and stuff, but are you?
I'm just wearing earbuds, so it looks like I'm, you know, talking to myself. So nobody can hear anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind. I don't think anyone's going to share anything.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know the days, yeah.
We'll have the juicier month coming up soon.
Yeah, maybe the month of creativity. We can see who can share the most outrageous thing. Okay. We, as you know, as early adopters, you know that we've been trying to figure out very actively and very transparently how we can be of best service to the community as a whole. And how can we be this anchor that you feel tethered by to your heart's desires for your health? And people come from many different goals and many different areas and many different needs to connect or be reminded or be actively led, or maybe they just want to kind of check in and have this little reminder. So for some people, we're like a giant spotlight. And for other people, we're kind of like this little birthday candle. So it really depends on how people want to connect. And in the beginning, if you remember the first few months, we really wanted to do this format of like, let's get together. Let's work on a problem together. Who wants to be coached? And over time, I was like, well, what if instead of doing this, at the beginning of each month, we get together collectively. And since we created the focus sheets, we can just use that as an opportunity for each of us to be more intentional about how the month can go. Because then once it's the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and you're 30% into a month, it's harder to sit with these goal setting sheets and just find an opportunity to be together right at the beginning, get it going, have this collective intention, and then let that kind of lead us through the month. So we're giving this a shot today. We're very glad that we have you as accomplices to do it. And we hope that it works out. Does this sound like a reasonable idea to you guys? Does it make sense?
Sounds great.
Yeah, definitely. I've benefited from being in the group, so I'm happy to explore wherever this group is heading.
Yeah, and we have so many different ideas, and at the same time, it's like this chemistry lab where we're going in with our, what's it called, the vial? with our glass container full of our ingredient, and our lab pouring it into a container, we don't know what's in there. And so,
or how big it is.
It's like, we don't know what the chemical reactions are between what we create and people until we get feedback, or until we meet, or until we talk, or until we hear what's happening in the Facebook group. And so I'm really, my deepest desire, and Roland's as well, I think I can speak for you in this, for these meetings, like the beginning of the month meetings, is to kind of collectively lift up our excitement and let that carry us through the end of the month. And we know from research that the mind has this way of kind of losing interest. So about 3 to 4 weeks and kind of like things taper off, like 3-4 weeks into a new diet, 3-4 weeks into a new exercise plan. I think it lasts longer with a new boyfriend or girlfriend. But still, like, there's a tapering off, you know, a few years into a marriage, you're not like, I'm married. It's like, yeah, I'm married. Roland and I are trying to improve our track record here. But it's really like that. So we're really hoping that the new themes each month and the new content and new guests and recordings and beginning of the month goal setting is going to be very helpful. Something that I'm really curious about, it's kind of like my own me search, and I'm curious how you guys see this in the community, is in the sheets where we have the symptoms down here that are meaningful that you want to track. I'm really curious about how all the stuff on top interacts with all the stuff on the bottom. And we were trying to figure out, how do we bring the meaningful health symptoms that we're all tracking with the rest of the goals. Because say that there's a meaningful symptom that we want to manage, control, reduce, and then we have a goal that doesn't necessarily go with it, because it might be, if you're wanting to really improve your strength, I'm going to use a very simple example, but that same month you have to get up an hour early, and you see how one of your positive habits and actions is bringing your sleep from, say, 8.5 hours to 7 hours, and your strength that you're tracking doesn't improve or goes down, then you're going, oh, now I can see how my activities that have nothing to do with my strength training or my nutrition, but other activities that are important are undermining that one thing I'm tracking. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I think like for me personally, if instead of like checking in on a daily or weekly basis, as I'm tracking, I think it's really useful, like you're saying, to have all this information and then see how it gets to that one goal or that aim. So you can see that it's really accumulating and making benefits. However, I think some people feel better checking in every day, and then some people, maybe the increments will be different timing, like maybe once a month or once a week. And then you can see over time what's happening with that one particular health goal.
Yeah. For me, it was very interesting looking at my February sheet that I filled out.
Are you okay with me driving?
Yeah, you are.
I was having some stomach issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is weird. And then I looked at my sheet and I was like, I was having the same issues a month ago.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That my stomach aches was something that I was tracking.
Mm.
And because we forget, like, life is so busy and I'm not over-focused on my body. And I was like, oh, wow, interesting. And then one big thing that I track is my hair, because I've lost so much hair over the last 8 years, and just trying to see what affects it and how I can control that. And at one point, I even cut it very short, and that kind of didn't help. So I've had a good hair month. So it was like, I've had a good hair month. Like, I have a lot of hair. And it's really interesting. Really interesting to just look at these symptoms and go, okay, what about this month has been different and I've been working a little bit less? I said, oh, okay.
Well, I saw not a physical symptom, but since February was focused, and I saw your posting in Facebook, and you were like showing, I don't remember if you had doodles or you were going back on the month. So when I went to work, I decided, okay, let me think back on my focus sheet, which I did, and I saw that all of the goals listed, I didn't reach. And so that made me sit down and be quiet and write down why I didn't reach that. So I was very successful, because it showed that I needed to tweak some lifestyle stuff and some scheduling things in order to move closer to my goals.
Do you feel like you were consistent on your positive habits and actions, and it's just your goals require longer time?
No, the problem is there's 24 hours in a day, and I thought if I put it into small increments of 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, and it wasn't a lack of willingness. It was, you can put things in as small increments as you want, but if there's no time and no energy, if you've already spent it, you've spent it. So, you know, it was just a matter of me saying, you know what, I'm going to have to borrow from something else, or I'm going to have to figure this out, because it's basically not sustainable. You can't have 100 10-minute things to do in a day. It's just not going to happen.
No, and something we've learned with Lynn since we started working with her a year ago is that, and we meet with her often and we work on focusing, is that changing the wavelengths of what you do is very disruptive to productivity. like, oh, I'm going to work with a client and then I'm going to work on this other project, then something online, and then something nutrition related, and then something work related, and then something hobby related, and then a friend has to schedule something. And that fragmentation, I've looked at my schedule and I'm like, this makes a schedule like this will produce a person with ADHD. Like, if you wanted to produce an ADHD behavior, you have to schedule like I do.
Yeah.
And so, like, really pulling back and going, oh, like, this is not a sustainable way to program for a healthy brain for productivity. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that and I just thought, okay, I need to really think about it and reassess how I'm scheduling. And even though I had all of my goals and hopes that I wrote on the focus sheet, halfway through the month, I changed my goal to, I need more rest. And that I was 100% successful with.
Mark.
Excellent. Yeah, I feel like having something very simple like this is very helpful, because otherwise it's very nebulous. It's like, here I am doing my thing. But we also need this kind of left brain, very concrete way of, what are we doing? How are we going about it? And is it working out? And if it's not working out, let's adjust the course. It's easy to steer a moving ship. Let's adjust the course so that we end where we said we wanted to go. Otherwise, I feel like many of the people in the community that I've worked with personally, there's a lot of issues with trust. Like trusting that our bodies can support our heart's desires. But then when you see that, you continually set yourself up for models of behavior where nobody's body could do that.
Right. That's like, what I'm seeing.
And you're like, why do you hate me? Why don't you want to grow any more hair, you know, or whatever it is. It's like, no one's body can do that.
Right.
In this, like, in my case, with this ADHD schedule, like, my brain's like, so you get up and meditate, and then you disorganize me the rest of the day. Like, it's just worked out.
Well, I'm going to just add that it was really smart of you to notice in the midst of the month, in the middle of the month, that something wasn't working or something that you were doing was negatively affecting other areas and taking and not just blindly sticking it out. Because a lot of people will say, oh, no, I made this thing. These are the things I want to do. And I'm going to do them. And they like force it. And then at the end of the month, they're even more frustrated. So,
I think I mentioned it before that I'm not a big fiction reader. I don't read fiction. I only, read things that are going to be productive. And so I got a few Neil Gaiman books for me and for Leslie, and I went through two of them. They're very light reading. They're just like adult fairy tales. But I do feel like my creative juices are coming back. Like the rest is doing what I'd like it to do to bring me back to a better place.
See, there's hope for you.
There is hope. You know, I'm
talking to Galina, pointing at Galina. There's hope for her. See?
Oh, okay.
Many, many, many years, of not fixing. I feel like it's Roland's almost complete with the book one of his urban fantasy series, so I'm going to read that.
I think if I've told you so much about it, you're not going to have to read it. No, I feel like that's your out.
I want to read it. Okay. And this man sat on his butt for 75 hours in February, right?
Wow.
Like, that's consistency. That's very cool.
Luckily, that's when I'm not writing, I'm doing most, like when I'm not writing my book, though, I'm using standing. So, but if the standing tables at Starbucks were a little bit taller, I could stand there. But otherwise, I'd have to do a quarter squat just to be able to type. Yeah, exactly.
Julie and Sandra, do you have any feedback from just kind of like how Rebecca shared what happened here for you in February?
Well, what happened, I didn't have the sheet because my printer had a problem, which is
technological.
But I was thinking about it. But so I don't have feedback particularly, but the existence of it did help me think about creating more focus and goals and things, but I look forward to doing it this way now.
I love it. I have a surprise for you in April for how we're going to do it, but I'm not going to tell you yet. Mm-hmm. This month, we're going to do it like this again. Julie, how about you?
It was very useful to fill out the sheet. I don't usually do this kind of thing. Usually the only thing I write down usually is that like a daily or weekly list of things I want to get accomplished to check off as I do them so they're not running through my head all the time. But last month when you said to do this, I thought, okay, I'll give it a shot. The thing I had the hardest time with actually was at the bottom on the symptom tracker. Generally, I feel well and good in my body, so I don't have a lot of symptoms I'm tracking that plague me that I want to be rid of. So I kind of had to almost, I don't want to say I had to manufacture things. I could think of things. I have a little bit of pain and I want to use the word pain. Discomfort in one hip sometimes if I'm sleeping, and if I roll over, it goes away. When I wake up, I'm aware of it, but it doesn't wake me up, and I'm not then obsessing about it or anything. So, you know, I put it down on the sheet. Same thing with sometimes if I walk a long ways in the snow, one of my feet will be a little warmer afterwards, but it's not like a really big thing. But I put it down on the list. What's interesting to me is when I got to the end of the month and looked back on that, I wasn't really aware of having been awakened with my hip feeling sore, or nor did I have a day where I was aware that my foot was sore after I walked. So whether that's some magic in the process of writing it down, or whether it's that these are not in the realm of chronic complaints that I'm trying to get rid of. It's been a long process for me, 10, 15 years of changing diet and movement habits, and I feel like I'm on the end where I'm reaping the benefits of that more so than trying to build up steam with it. So I all of the things that were my goals and the positive habits and actions and how I would know if I got closer to my goals were accomplished during the month. And I think in part that's because I wrote them down on this, and so I was aware of them. So I think it was useful, and I will do it again for this month. And I just wanted to say, referring back to what you were saying earlier about trying to figure out how the community works to best support people, I am aware all month long of how often each of you and the two of you together do something to check in with the group, even when the group isn't very responsive back in terms of answering the questions you put out or whatever. And I'm like, wow, these guys are like on it all the time. And I know you have other things you're doing in your lives that are very busy too. Speaking for me as a member of the group, I see all of that and feel incredibly connected to you, even when we're not all on a call connecting or whatever. So from my perspective, it's working really well. And it looks to me like as you get the calendar more squared away, you might be able to feel like you need to do less actual events to pare those down and still be able to have the connection you want with the group. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how you heard that, but what I meant to say is,
I'm hearing it as very positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's really valuable for me to be mirrored back in that way, because I'm in the dark room with the Vat and the Vayu. Mm-hmm. But what you're speaking to, paring down the calendar, you're going to see our March calendar is a lot more sparse. And we're trying to see what's interesting and what's not, what people want to do and what they don't want to do, what might be helpful and what not. And we have so many people that we can invite in to contribute. But it's almost like being at a buffet. Like, it doesn't matter how many incredible donuts and vegan donuts, vegan charcoal donuts, and you know, wonderful chocolate fountains there are, if you've just gotten filled on like kale cranberry salad and chicken marsala and an apple and a banana. Like, it doesn't matter how much we add when people are full.
Yeah, and
I'd like to add something too, if I could.
Yeah.
To what Julie's saying, when you guys post, sometimes I don't even remember if I think I probably just pushed like, and I didn't really have time to respond because I check in, and then sometimes I'm getting ready for work or getting ready to leave for something else. But sometimes even if there's not a lot of feedback and like words, you know, in response, I still get benefit a lot from what you post, and sometimes I regret that I can't give more than a thumbs up, because I think Galena posted about natural daylight and vision, and it was just a reminder, and you know, I know this, and I know eye exercises and this and that, but that was so beneficial and just at that right time, and it changed a big behavior shift in me. And ever since you posted that, every morning I go out in the balcony, even if it's just for 5 minutes, and do some long distance looking and some visual exercises. And I told myself, before I even look at my phone, I'm going to do eye exercises and just take in the day with my eyes, you know, instead of, since I work in a very confined space, I want to be out on the balcony, I want to look off into the distance, close, look at trees, look at birds, and look at the sky. But even though I didn't respond to that, it still created a huge behavior shift since the time that you posted that.
That's very cool. And I appreciate that all three of you are on Facebook. We have a bunch of members that are not. And so making sure that they get consistent connection and making sure we send out the emails on Mondays, smiley face check-ins, and reaching out to them. And the community right now is tiny, but we are probably, if we continue on this trajectory, be able to grow it to be a slightly larger. And so then once we get to the amount of members we hope that we can have, that'll become very difficult. Like, it'll become very hard to personally reach out to somebody. And we're not the kind of people that will hire an assistant in the Philippines to do it for us. If they're us, you know, like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, so like, we're trying to reach a balance of not overwhelming people as well. Because I think you've seen a couple of people post in the group that they're overwhelmed. Like, oh, I don't even know where to start. And we get emails and text messages from people sometimes, like some of our local friends that are in there, that are like, oh, you post so much stuff and I feel so guilty because I don't get to all of it. So there was like a balancing point where
there's, you know, a spider. I'll be right back.
Where we have to, you know, we want to put enough content in there to address all of the needs of everybody, give people what they do want, but also not put so much in there that the people are overwhelmed, and then present it in a way that reminds people that it's there, but doesn't make them feel guilty when they don't get to it. So there's like and there's people on Facebook that only see they say they never see the emails, they only see the Facebook stuff. And then there's people who only see the emails and they're like, well, I never even go on Facebook. Or I'm on Facebook, but I still don't see the notification. So
just to let you know, guys, the spider is safe under a lid. And I see it might be a black widow. It's very black. We have Black Widows.
But it's a Black Widow.
No, but it's safe for right now until we prove what it is.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I'm on the phone and I'm missing a lot of the fun there with the spider.
Well, it's far away. It's like she's with her,
you don't get to
with,
see
her
it.
With her amazing eyesight. She saw she spied it out.
You know, that's where the brain's negativity bias really comes in handy. Spider.
Well, I don't know if you ever, I mean, I don't recommend this, but I recommend doing it, but I recommend you seeing it. Like how, it, and then we'll get back on topic. But there's these videos, cats versus cucumbers, right? Where it shows that, like, there's no reason for a cat to be afraid of a cucumber, right?
But, oh, I've seen that, yes.
But there's something about the shape and the darkness of the, you know, the cucumber that probably reminds a cat of a snake.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So when the cat sees this cucumber out of the peripheral vision, like when it sees this cucumber, it just jumps.
The startle response is just spectacular.
It's, and it's very so ingrained in them that like, it works with every cat. Yeah.
You should see my studio. I have people who are like, I can't walk. And like the moment the spider comes in, they're like on top of my woman like moves. I'm like, I think we have a movement program for you. You might stress you. You know, we can release like a bug every 15 minutes and just really get you moving.
There's also girls versus cucumbers, girls versus snakes, right? Because we're walking on this, like, at this monastery path. It's so zen. We're walking from station to station, doing all these, you know, we're walking from this, meditate here, think about this there, right? And then we get to this part, and the snake is crossing the path, like, 50 feet away. And Lee here, Miss Zen, jumps. like, you're jumping closer to the snake by jumping on my back, and but getting like two feet off the ground. Now I'm gonna get by the snake, and I can't run away because you're on my back. Yeah. And it was like totally like it took like a second. She didn't go, oh my gosh, look, there's a snake. I'm gonna jump on your back. It was like snake.
All of us here are movement professionals on this call. There is money to be made in the startle response.
But she's not afraid of cucumbers. She's the Bulgarians are very fond of cucumbers. All the time. She never jumps, even when one falls out of the bag.
Yep. Okay, so back on track. You guys have your sheets, and if you don't, you can just write on whatever. If your printer is broken.
Done that. I didn't see. My mind was stuck. I could have just done that.
So you can just grab a sheet of paper and a pen. You don't need to write in this thing.
I got this thing this time.
Excellent.
But no, but it's interesting how that, I just was like, maybe I wasn't ready to do it, I think.
No, that's fine, and you don't have to.
And now I'm excited about it.
Great. So lead you into a little bit of a warm-up, and then we're gonna do this. So here's how we're gonna do the warm-up. Whether you're sitting or standing or in a car, just take a moment to just be where you are and not do anything. Just kind of let yourself just be there. Because so often we do. We're always doing and thinking and trying to be productive. We're just not going to do anything. And just see, like, to give ourselves a few moments for that. And then let your eyes go where they want to go. So just kind of a little bit of a freedom to just kind of let your eyes look around without making them go anywhere, but just letting them, allowing them to go where they want to go. And notice as you do that, as you just kind of sit and let your eyes look around, if there's any way physically that you're noticing that affecting you, And it might be, oh, my, I took a deep breath, or my stomach opened up a little bit, or I feel my pelvis more. Maybe things are slowing down a bit in your mind. Just kind of allowing your eyes to go anywhere in the room or outside the car, if you're in the car. And then reminding you that while we're doing this, your body's doing a whole bunch of stuff to really keep you well. All sorts of processes are going on. Your lungs are breathing. Your brain's sending all sorts of signals and checking in what's happening downstairs in the body. Your stomach is stomaching and your kidneys are kidneying and your muscles are muscling and your heart's hearting. Everything's working for you. So there's not a lot you have to do. But there are certain conditions that we can provide that allow the body to work in the most efficient way. And as we get out of the way and not create obstacles for it, to just allow it to do what it can do best by itself, with no effort. And if you looked at all of March, kind of like laid out in front of you, like a big field with a horizon at the end of it, we have all these precious 30 days ahead of us to the end of March. That's a long time. And if you could have your heart's desire for this month, what would you like for yourself? And it can be in the realm of energy, which is our theme for this month, or it can be in any other realm. And your heart's desire does not have to be realistic. While your goals need to be, your heart's desire is kind of the Google Earth view. And then as we get closer to Earth, we get to see the goals and the positive actions and your motivation. And when you feel like you have your heart's desire for this month, and it can be a word or a sentence, just say yes so that I know you got it.
Yes.
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 Okay. So within that heart's desire, can you just kind of take out your pen or pencil or whatever you're writing with and think about one, two, maybe even three goals that would support your heart's desire? So heart's desire is like the Google Earth view. And as you come down, 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 kind of focusing on over the islands for Sandra and over the continent for those of us in North America, just kind of coming down, down, down and getting a little bit closer, seeing what are my goals with that? One, two, or three goals. And when you write them down, just say yes. And we're in no rush, so take all the time you need.
Yes.
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 And then we're bringing down the camera even lower. And now we've kind of landed in the state that you live or on the actual island that you're on. And then see a little bit closer, what are the daily positive habits or actions that you want to commit to that are going to support those goals? So maybe 1, 2, 3, or maybe 1 for each goal. Just keeping it simple. We know the mind has a hard time processing things that are more than 5. So staying within 3 is really manageable. And when you're ready, just say yes.
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 And then kind of landing even closer, closer, closer. How will you know you're closer to your goals? So maybe 1 for each goal. What's one way is you've kind of landed in the town you live? What's one way that you know you're closer to your goals? Maybe 1 for each goal. And the more specific, the better.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
And landing even lower from the Google Earth view all the way in your body. Like if you could just bring the camera into your heart, what's your why for those goals? Why are those important to you? Why now? Why these goals?
Yes.
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 Excellent.
Everybody?
Yes.
And if there's any symptoms that you want to track from the giant menu of symptoms in the back, you can choose a couple. Or if there's none, then just kind of maybe spend some time reflecting in gratitude about all the positive habits and actions you've committed to over the years that have resulted in you not needing to keep an eye on something that rears its head every now and then, or maybe all the time if it's a chronic thing. And when you're ready, give us a yes.
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 Excellent. Well, thank you. Thank you for taking time to do this. I'm always amazed at what comes out as I was writing. I was like, wow, that's interesting. So different from last month for me.
I was wondering if symptoms is the right word.
Oh, well, how about we come up with a different one?
Well, Julie, when Julie was talking about how there are things that she was working on and she had to struggle to come up with symptoms, but those weren't specifically the symptoms. Like, so if you have something, you're like, oh, I don't really have anything specifically wrong. So like, why should I dig to find symptoms? Like maybe it's the wrong, maybe symptoms are part of it. Maybe symptoms are one thing that people look for when they're looking for something specific. But like, it's almost like ties, it's almost like the reverse. Like you could be looking for something. It's not that you feel like, for example, it's not like you feel necessarily that I have low energy, but you want to have more energy. Mm-hmm. So
maybe a physical connection or physical manifestations instead of symptoms, but.
Yeah, like maybe I want to have more focus.
It's almost like vital.
But I don't have less, I don't have not full focus now, or I'm not like not low in focus.
It's almost, and if you look at the menu on page 2, we have all of these things there.
But I just wonder if symptom is the wrong trigger word.
Maybe like vital, maybe like vital signs.
Signs, yeah.
Or like measures of vitality.
Focus point. Now that we're past the month of focus, we can use the word focus.
So it's like a physical manifestation.
Yeah, like what Rebecca and Julie are saying is very cool.
No, I don't know if it's always physical either, because some of them are emotional or mental. So it's
spiritual. I mean, you can have all sorts.
Yeah. Oh, I cannot tell you the number of people that come to me in high distress because they feel spiritually disconnected.
We're going to have to make much longer. Well, it's just something to think about.
They're like tangibles. They're almost like, but some of them are intangible tangibles. Well, think about it. The reason we chose symptoms is because it's so close to the 30 days of real food.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people who've done the 30 days of real food are used to kind of doing the symptom tracker as a way to check in with themselves.
It could also be symptoms and something. Like it doesn't have to be just one word. That's all.
Yeah, it could be symptoms and wellness check, you know.
Oh, I like wellness check. Isn't that what they call in English the going, oh, that's called a well woman exam. The guy will be very upset. Okay, wellness check. I like the wellness check. That's really cool. Wellness check. How about wellness check-in?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, we have improved on something. Yeah, it's just like some other word wanted to emerge. I'm not really a fan of symptoms either. Excellent.
All right. Yeah, like symptoms works really well when somebody like is joining us for the Real Food Reset and they're like, you know, I have all these problems and I want to address them. Oh, what are your symptoms? Mm-hmm. On an ongoing wellness trend, doesn't really fit. Awesome.
Would you like to share with the group, just as we kind of land, what's your why for this month's goals?
I can do that. I can kick it off. My why is because I deserve to enjoy my life, and I deserve to have energy, longevity, and joy.
Mm. Love that.
Yes, you do. That's so lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mine was similar. It's just to feel a greater sense of spaciousness, to feel all of life.
Mm, that's good.
Well, may you have that. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So mine is sort of complex because there are two people in my family that are not doing very well in this transition process, and I want things to be better for them. And in order for that to happen, I have to, I think, hold myself accountable to showing up for where they are right now, even though I'm someplace different and feeling better. But I think in order for them to move through that, my presence and attention is required. And it would be easier not to attend to that. So my why is to not, because I don't want to disengage. Yeah, or it's the other, the word, it's so interesting that the word won't come to mind. I don't want to oh, that's so funny. I know exactly what I want to say and the word won't come. So interesting. I don't want to deny. I don't want to be in denial. Mm-hmm. About their state, mm-hmm. while I'm where I am. There we go.
Yeah. Well, what do you, and how do you want to be with that is perhaps your desire.
Say that again?
Like how you want to be with that instead of the denial.
I want to be showing up and being present on a day-to-day and moment-to-moment way, because I'm halfway across the country, it's easy for me to say we'll have a Skype call once a week and that's my obligation to it. But all day long, they are in this process of having to transition, in part because of decisions that I've made. And there are consequences of those decisions that everybody has to be living with. And so because the decision I made has put me in a good place, I can choose to be more supportive of how difficult it is for them. I can also choose to avoid that. But that will have other consequences. So
Right.
So I just need to not let myself avoid.
Right.
Knowing what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds like such a great way to honor all parts of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a deep intention. You have our support.
Thank you.
Yeah. My why is that I care about the quality of my connections. And I'm becoming more and more aware of how that hasn't come through in my actions. and really my positive habits and actions for this month, of which I'm gone most of the month, I'm going to be in Europe, is to really just show in my positive habits and actions that I care about the quality of connection, even when I'm away.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
What about you, sir? What's your why?
My why is to feel more, I want to feel a more of a sense of accomplishment with the things that I do. I feel like I do a lot of things, and when I'm able to connect with people, I am able to help them, but I feel the struggle to get the connections. Like I feel like in my health coaching clients, I feel very satisfied, and I feel like I'm doing a very good job with them, and I feel like they are getting, like with that individual person, I feel a sense of accomplishment. But I feel like I've put a lot of time and built a lot of this foundation for my learning, and to only have a few people there. So sometimes I feel like I don't feel the sense of accomplishment because I don't have enough people.
I see.
You know, and similar with my writing, like I feel like I've been writing for years, but I haven't actually, like I have a core group, we have a core group of readers who reads our book, but when we put our books out, we didn't know I think we can be honest, but we're not amazing marketers, right? We love to write. We love to put our message out there, but we're not the best at getting our message out there to new people. Like it happens organically, and organically sometimes isn't fast enough in today's day and age, because like you can't be a tiny little organic food producer and survive when there's a big company with millions of dollars of advertising making a similar or a lesser product, maybe, but they have but they're saying that they're amazing. You just never get seen because your stuff is overwhelmed by theirs. And so we have to learn, I have to learn to, and I have to put myself out, be able to put myself out there, I guess. And be good with that, in order to feel the accomplishment that I want.
That's an honorable goal. Why goal? Yeah. Oh, you have my full support.
Thank you.
Grateful for being like everyone that I've met online or in real life who knows us has been just an incredibly high quality, aware, wonderful human being. Like all of you are here, and it's just been my satisfaction and my sense of accomplishment because of who shows up has been so high.
I share something that relates to Roland, what you said, and the questions before about the program is that one thing I think is unique about the program is that it's not like a 1 month quick fix. Although like you have the reset and you have the different things that can be done in a short period of time, but that you have this container that, like I signed up for the whole year, and it's this container that I feel held by the whole time. Mm. And that's very different than the flash marketing that happens so much of. And I really feel much safer and so much more trust in this kind of model. And it's something that's sustainable and for me so much more meaningful than those quick things where people are so good at getting someone to buy in, but then who knows where it often doesn't go.
I don't know that.
It's like fighting against this individualistic capitalist society versus more what I like of a more community collaborative long-term way of living together. And I feel like that's what you're offering. And there's the challenge because it doesn't have the same flash right now, but it is how I think many of us thrive much better that way, if we live that way. I know.
Yeah, you can't compete with those huge marketing giants, but they can't compete with you either.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right. I feel like it's like there's a group. Yes. Yeah. There's a particular group of people of which you are representatives out there in the world that have reached a level of connection with themselves and their well-being that is way above what we consider average in society. I don't know what the percentage is. Lynn tells us that it's about 20%. I don't know. I don't know that. I haven't seen the research. But people who really understand how things work and can quickly filter through, okay, this is a quick fix. Okay, this is sustainable long term. But I feel like what's happened for everyone, including those 20%, if that really is the percentage, is that we're so inundated with wellness messages that it's almost like all of it gets lumped as wellness and just gets pushed away instead of seeing that the message, for example, that we bring has nothing to do with quick fixes or a particular diet. Teaching people to do something they may not want to do. I think that's the problem, is that we have to stereotype the way the mind works. We have to stereotype to survive. And when we are stereotyped as health coaches, you know, like people just don't know. And so this Wednesday evening, we have a webinar. It's kind of like an open house, teaching people about energy and what we teach in the March content to anyone who wants to join us. And then we're going to offer people to just come in and try out the membership. We're kind of making a copy of the membership with just March for those people. So it's not going to be in your space, so that they can check it out, kind of like an open house, so they can see what it's like and they can get a little tour. Because people really don't know. It's so weird and nebulous, and what the heck is this? Like, it's not very clear. So we're hoping that that helps. We're going to have those every month and see if people can.
I understand, you know, being somebody that, you need new people so that you have, you know, financially, a business that's financially thriving. And, you know, I've never been a good marketer of my own skills, you know, and I don't like to be like a used car salesman, and I don't like people throwing those messages at me all the time either. And I think you guys are very soft with that. And, you know, that's going to appeal to a certain segment. But it, like the open house, maybe in the Facebook group, you can put something that's shareable, you know, because I'd be willing to share that on my Facebook page, you know,
like, and you can like an open house invite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just say, you know, if you know somebody that might be interested in this, please share it, you know, and that's simple. That's soft. That's not aggressive. And, you know, some people I'm sure would be willing to share it.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
I find myself talking about you guys a lot to my friends.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. We are honored to be a part of your lives and to be allowed so close to your hearts. And we don't take it lightly in any way. And I feel that with that's something that started for me about 3.5 years ago with my emotional eating support group. I found how close we got, and we are just talking about it. We never want to let it go. Like, we don't want to let that group go ever. And I was like, okay.
We're wrapping up right now.
When I die, we're done. Thank you so much for taking time out of your valuable Saturday goal setting with us and the rest of the community. Because even if not all 44 of us are on here on the call today, there is a way in which this call, the content, the intentions, the quality of your sharing is on behalf of the whole community collectively. You know, we know that energetically that's how it works. It collectively blesses all of us. So thank you for showing up on behalf of everyone else and really making a difference.
Yeah, it was great to see you all.
Thank you.
And we're here. And I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful March.
Yeah, happy March, everyone.
Happy March. Same to everybody here.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.